Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonino, Julie Hayden here. Chuck and Julie Show, True Straight Up, brought to you by our great friends at
ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. Great website to check every day. They've got a lot of great stories, particularly with the election coming up. And I want to let everybody know, we will get to our ballot picks, but there's so much news going on with the murder of Patriot Lee Keltner, stuff developing throughout the day, every day. So we're going to bring you up to speed on all of that, show you some new videos. We're going to be joined as soon as we get him here by Peter Boyle from 710 KNUS. I was on his show this morning. Thought we'd reciprocate, have him on our show. Also coming up a little bit later in the show, Casper Stockham. All of you know he's the candidate, GOP candidate for Congressional District 7, but he was also at the event and saw this, the agitator at the Patriot Muster trying to stir trouble up. We'll talk to him about that.
We'll also, if you get time, talk about the Hunter Biden breaks today. And of course, the great job that Amy Coney Barrett did in her second and last day of questioning.
Oh, yeah. It's like craziness, really. So we got Peter Boyles. We got Peter Boyles with us. Let's jump right to him. Hey, Peter, how are you
doing?
Hey,
Peter.
Hey, guys. Hey, good afternoon. Julie, thank you for this morning. And Charles, thank you, man. Good afternoon, everybody.
You bet.
So, Peter, you know, we've talked a lot. And, you know, I guess let me first start off. I mean, you've got some great sources of information on this. Have anything new from your end that you're hearing on this today?
Yeah. I've gotten some people from inside law enforcement, and again, we're always cautious. I don't know this, but I've been told that maybe the shooter was wearing a bulletproof vest. Now, I don't know it. The picture looks very strange. Is he or is he not, Doloff, wearing a vest? You guys?
You know, that was one of the things that I thought right off the bat. That it looked to me, when you look at the pictures, it's a little bit bulky. So it appears to me, it certainly would not shock me if it turned out he was.
Yeah, I was surprised when his picture came out. I said, well, that looks a lot thinner than the person that appeared in the videos.
So, and you know, and some of the things, so I guess I should bring people up to speed. We're talking about over the weekend, there was a Patriot Muster rally at this downtown Denver at Civic Center Park. The Antifa people tried to riot around the edges. Denver police, by all accounts, did a good job keeping the two groups separate.
Well, once again, they did a good job of keeping the left-wing Antifa people from beating up and attacking Patriot Muscles.
Point.
I mean, I know I'm keep on emphasizing.
No,
this,
that's
but
a good point.
We keep on buying the left dueling ones.
I didn't say dueling.
Yeah, but it's all BS. They're lying to you. It's the left trying to throw cans, trying to hurt, and in this case, Channel 9 killing a patriot.
And to set the stage, in case you haven't seen it, and Peter, you know this as well, there was one agitator, a Black Lives Gun Matter in particular, who seemed to me to be a professional agitator. The 9 News crew was clearly shadowing him. According to Tig Teigen, they actually huddled with him after the event was over. Everyone else is leaving. This agitator goes over, picks a confrontation with Lee Keltner and this other group of people there. 9 is sticking around filming that. Then something distracts Lee Keltner, and he goes over, and apparently we've seen the videotape from the 9 News producer. He says something, this is not the place for cameras, I'm going to F you up. And then that somehow escalates into Matthew Doloff shooting and killing Keltner.
You may notice that now they're calling him not a producer,
he's
but
a journalist.
And the journalist is who? Julie?
Adam Zeckman, the producer.
Adam Zeckman. They want to keep his name out because
this is my head's going to explode.
We know death threats.
Yeah. So, Peter, I want to play for you because I know you watch it, but I want to get your reaction. I'm just going to play a brief clip. So the fake 9 News reporters that they send in ostensibly to cover this story, right? What a joke. did an interview with Dan Recht, who is the producer's personal attorney. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing. Unless producers at Channel 9 are making a heck of a lot more money than they make any place else in the universe, Dan Recht, one of the top criminal defense attorneys in the country, there's no way. Do you think, Peter, that a producer is affording Dan Recht on his producer salary?
Well, I actually, on a, you know, on a handshake basis, know Dan, and he's a whale of a lawyer.
Right.
We were talking earlier about, do you think that the other family will hire Lynn Wood?
Yeah.
And I had my go-rounds with Lynn Wood during the Ramses, but Lynn Wood, that young kid from the Catholic high school in Kentucky, he scored on the networks for that family.
Right.
Lynn Wood has done, you know, that moment when you stand back and say, I might not agree with you, but damn, that was good.
Right.
And I'm not talking about that young kid from Kentucky, but when Lynn Wood went to work for the Ramsey family.
Right.
And
right.
And no, Dan Recht ain't coming cheap. You're right. I mean, and the other thing too, in some of these videos, this quote producer said, I have my Channel 9 News hat in my bag. And he also said, I want to call my boss. I want to know who he was going to call.
Yeah.
He also claims, he said, I have my press pass. Well, we know this, when you're working the job, and we've all done it, you wear your press pass around your neck.
Exactly. And we've seen in the video, the Denver Post photographer wearing a big orange vest that said press on it. But let me get it. I don't want to taint people's opinion, because maybe my opinion is just my opinion of this. But I'm going to play a little clip of the interview with Dan Recht that Channel 9 did. So they're interviewing their own, basically.
And I should be adding this too. How many times when you go have a private consultation with your lawyer, which I'm with you about question mark, who's paying for him, then you turn that into a news story.
Right, right, exactly. I mean, this is total gratuitous. To me, it's shameful with Channel 9, but that's just play, Thomas, let's play the attorney video so people can hear and see for themselves a little bit.
Okay, all right.
It's coming.
There you go.
Speaking publicly, my client is not speaking publicly because, frankly, he's concerned about his personal welfare. He has received multiple death threat. Excuse me. He has received multiple death threats, and therefore doesn't want his image or his voice on camera.
How's he doing right now?
This is a difficult time for him. I mean, he watched somebody get shot and killed, and is dealing with the police and a homicide investigation, and it is difficult emotionally.
On the video that he captured, there's a voice that's heard where he says, someone's going to say, I'm going to F you up. Did your client know who said that?
He does know who said that. And the person that said it directly to him, the journalist, is the person who became the victim of the shooting. So he had not been shot yet. When he said that, he was approaching the journalist, and the journalist was in fear for his safety.
All right, Peter, before my head explodes, let me get, I mean, your take on that interview.
Well, I like multiple. That could be more than one. And if you're on my side of the microphone, how many of those do you get a day or a week or a month? It's amazing. So multiple could be what? More than one. And how did he get them? How did they know how to get them to him?
Right.
You know, we have a radio station that gets text messaging and phone calls. And how did he get threatened? I mean, Dan Recht, who's a master of words, isn't quite telling you. And multiple means what?
Right.
More than one?
And
two?
Here's the thing.
And
to
you
me,
guys have been in the business. You know what happens.
Oh, in the business.
We're not death threats.
In the business. Hundreds.
Here's the thing, though. Channel 9, in part, thanks to people like Channel 9.
Yeah.
And to me, the thing is that I find it particularly disgraceful in that is that was just the second question. That was the beginning of the interview. So the Channel 9 reporter is going out of his way to have Dan Recht explain how tough this has been on the poor producer who had to witness his security guard murder Lee Kettner. There's no, I feel sorry for the family. No, you know, boy, we wish this had never happened. It's like, hey, this has been tough on this producer.
And he goes on to say at the end of that interview, you know, he felt threatened and thought that, you know, the murderer was protecting him. So there's no question that the murderer and Channel 9 journalist were in cahoots together. And
sure.
The other thing, too, go ahead.
No, I was going to say the Channel 9 now has portrayed itself as a victim. They've papered up their windows. They've hired armed cops. And, you know, after the positions that the Benny Hinn of Denver TV, Cal Clark, has taken out on cops, it's always been interesting. He really is a Benny Hinn character. But what I think is amazing is they've papered up the windows. They've hired armed security off air. They're really a real pro-gun outlet in the first place. But I find all of that interesting. And now they have become victims. Channel 9 is also a victim. Not only is Newman a victim, now 9's a victim. And how long will it take before Kyle Clark becomes a victim? Sometime this afternoon. No, it's like we talked about when Channel 9 brings in other reporters as though this is going to make it right. I mean, they have unbelievable problems that I think are even far greater than the ones the three of us are talking about.
Well, and here's exactly, and that gets to my other point, and that is, I mean, I know Dan Rech, and I like Dan Rech. He was, you know, one of our go-to. He, and as I said, like, I have enormous respect for him, and I know how Dan Rech answers questions, and I know you can see him there, at least to me, very carefully choosing his words. He does not say, and we're going to get to the producer lying in his initial statement to police, by the way, in a second.
I want to say about his name rather than Mr. What?
It's Adam Zechman, right, Peter?
No. I've heard three or four different who he really is.
Yeah. And so we'll confirm that before we start.
Julie, stay with what you're doing, because Chuck, I think it's probably the smart thing right now, because I'll tell you what, everybody's monitoring what we do at 710. I know everybody's monitoring you guys, and they're looking for loopholes to come at us.
Make us shut up.
Stephen,
because here's the thing.
Today, how many people are on? Then,
they win by hiding the name, by hiding.
Okay, we'll look
else.
It up real quick so we have it for sure. I don't want to say the wrong name.
Well, I mean, we act in terror of them.
But here's the thing, that when you listen to Dan Rech, what he's doing is very carefully saying the producer was, he did not fear for his life, right? He feared for his safety. They're not saying he thought the guy was going to kill him. He's saying, I thought he felt threatened. Now, the reason that's important is because in a first degree murder case, it is a defense. If you think somebody's going to kill you, if you feel your life is in danger, that can enter in. But if you just feel threatened, and Peter, I'm going to go ahead and say, we'll play the video later. The producer initially lied to the cops when he's initially arrested. He said he maced him. Well, nobody maced anybody. And he said he protected my life. He saved my life. Now, if you're Peter, how many times in your career has somebody come to you and said, you turn off the microphone or I'm going to F you up? I mean, if you killed everybody who said
you. What, this week?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when you're a reporter, I'm sorry, but people say that to you all the time. You don't get to shoot and kill them and say, oh, I feared for my life.
My safety.
My safety, right.
So my advice at that point would be, let them get out of the business, but it's a little too late for that.
Right. Well, what do you think? Again, I think Dan Rech then mentioned later on in the interview, first he goes out of his way to say that the Nine News, the producer had no idea that the guy, that Doloff had a gun.
No.
I kind of find that, frankly, a little hard to believe, too. It was right there inside his shirt.
Yeah, first things first, the fact that they hired Dan Rech. You know, I mean, the bloom was off the rose. You hired Dan Rech. You know, you didn't get... the fact that you hired probably one of the top attorneys in the state, you hired him. It's like, you know, when John and Patsy Ramsey, the second lawyer they hire a gorilla. And Nine is paying so much money, according to Stephen, I'm sure he's on the money. They're frosting that cake down there with armed guards 24/7. And Stephen came up.
Well, you kind of wonder, are the armed guards there to protect Channel 9 from the public or protect the public from Channel 9?
I think the
public's in more danger.
Well, we know all summer long those Trump supporters have been trashing the state house and kicking those furniture stores.
Look, yeah, we're the dangerous ones.
This is the imaging. If anything else, these boys understand optics.
And
now Channel 9 is under siege and as I said, the Benny Hinn of television news, Cal Clark, and all these characters that have surrounded and played this game for so many years, and now, OMG. Oh, right. Well, we're victims. No, you're not. You know, you're not a victim.
No, and you killed a guy.
There's a dead man, and they have to protect this quote producer now, AKA a journalist.
Right. Well, here's the funny thing I also find is that, so the journalist who's not facing any criminal charges, and Dan Rex says later on in that interview, as the police tell him, they're not looking at him. They don't intend to, or have any intention, at least right now, of charging him with anything. So he's got one of the best criminal defense lawyers in the state, high priced Dan Rex. Meanwhile, Doloff, the guy who actually pulled the trigger, I guess has a public defender. So there's something.
No, not true. His family, and I have a source on this, has apparently hired a pretty good defense attorney, private sector.
Oh, good. And, okay. Good for him.
I got a name, but and when I solidified, it's not a big deal. But no, the family has come, and they got Larry the lawyer. They don't have, right out of law school, public defender. Huh? They got a gun. They got a guy too. So.
Well, and
I don't have Dan Reck, I can tell you that.
I want to talk about something else too. Again, the kind of stuff that it's subtle, but to me, it's incredibly significant. And Peter, we talked about this a little bit on your show. People who don't know, and I did TV news for 30 years, right? In situations like this, it is always, and not always, frequently, when you're covering stories, there are people who act up only for the camera. And if the camera isn't there, they don't act up. Yeah. When you're out on the scene, it is your job ethically and as a real journalist to not go ahead and like egg those people on, right? In this case, I believe that's what Channel 9 did. They followed this agitator who's clearly a professional agitator. And we'll get more into him with Casper, but they follow him around. The event is over. They confer with him. And then he goes and confronts Lee Keltner. And they stand around and they videotape it, right? Something happened to make Lee Keltner look up and get distracted from this very intense confrontation with the Black Guns guy and look over at them. We don't really know what that is. That isn't clear. There's some missing seconds in the Channel 9 video. But I would say, and I know this is harsh, but I think this is true, that if Channel 9 had not been there videotaping the guy, I think he would have gone home. There never would have been a confrontation with Lee Keltner, and he would be alive today.
Yeah. I think it expands. I think if the Denver Post camera person and Channel 9 journalists were not there, would that man have gone home instead of being dead, shot? As they screamed running down the alley, he got shot right in the dome.
Right.
What I'm told was screamed by a certain person. So,
screamed by the Black Guns Matter guy.
Right.
I mean, he clearly did.
Right. And then later on, there's video of the Denver Post photographer. The cops are trying to shoo her away after they take Doloff and the producer away. And she's saying, I'm just trying to find out what happened to my guys.
My guy.
Where's my guy? So who lit out?
Right.
Chuck, you're an attorney. There's going to be a team because NBC Channel 9 has an amazingly deep pocket. And there's already, I don't know this, but I'd be willing to bet that this family has these hot dog lawyers and they're doing everything that Julie is doing, everything I'm doing, everything, Chuck, that you're doing. But they're going to be to patch something together. And when they get deposition, Chuck, since I've only been deposed, I've never been the guy asking the questions, but they start depositions on all of these people. And then the other part of this, and I asked it this morning, what if Doloff rolls?
Yeah.
What if his attorneys, and I told you it's a good one, go in, and I don't trust Beth McCann as far as I can throw her, but I go, okay, let's make a deal, because Beth used to be an attorney for the Denver Post back in the day. So what if they go to Beth and go, okay, now let's play, how much can you take? How long should I hard boil an egg? You know, that kind of a thing. And then they go, okay, we'll make a deal.
Yeah.
And now whether or not the Denver DA's office, but the city attorney's already come out and said, look, these people could be charged. criminally, which I thought was a first time.
For Channel 9 and Channel 7, right. They could be charged criminally for not making sure that the security guard was following all of the rules. I mean, he was following none of the rules.
You know,
really.
What they're telling him is don't tie yourself up in a twit. Reliability, you know, he's a 49-year-old guy. It's a wrongful death suit. Limitations on punitive damages. This isn't a big deal for us. Maybe it's a PR one, but we can make sure that we do our own PR. I promise you, over Channel 9, they are not trembling in their boots. They're kind of going, another day, another dollar.
We're the victim.
We've got the money, and we're in no trouble. Now, Doloff's in trouble, but I promise you, at Channel 9's lawyers are saying, quit panicking. This is just another day in the thing.
I totally disagree.
Well, you haven't been in the meetings with media when they get sued. I have been, and I've represented media myself.
Well, let him finish.
You forget, man. I've been sued four times. I've been to the dance. I know, and the imaging is what's important to Channel 9.
Yes.
And beyond that, plus I now contend that this guy's like Lee Harvey Oswald. He's at Channel 7 one night, working for Channel 9 the next day. Who the hell is this guy anyhow?
Right. And who is this mysterious subcontractor that hired him? Exactly. I mean,
it's just a daisy chain going down. But Channel 9 is all fine. Little bad PR. Otherwise, not very much
money. Maybe another bit Tegna.
Yeah, well,
the
Tegna,
people above Channel 9.
There's not much money involved in this. It really isn't. It's chump change for
watch.
Well, watch. And I promise you, they'll get away with it. They always gotten away with it, and they'll get away with it again. And Beth McCann is not going to. You know, this isn't George Brockler. This is Beth McCann. She is not going to squeeze him. She's not going to squeeze
them. And they waited. Here's one bit of news, though, too. They waited. I think they've given them till Friday to file the charges. Right. And I want to actually, I was talking earlier about this with Randy Corcoran, and I told him, I said, in my experience, giving them another 72 hours is not unusual.
No.
That's fairly typical in complicated cases like this, where, for instance, it sounds like they just today were able to arrange the interview with the other nine, with the nine producer and Dan Rex. So, I mean, everybody's lawyered up on this, and it takes a while.
Well, they're debating right now. Third degree murder, felony manslaughter.
They charged him. It was murder one on.
Suspicion of murder one.
Investigation.
Yeah,
they haven't charged.
They will never charge him with murder one. They will never charge him with murder.
Well, like I said, you know, if they've covered their windows, they got armed guards, they brought.
That's all for show. That's a joke. It's a joke.
But this isn't. They're the victims. Well, Peter, let me ask you, because I know we got to let you go. What do you got coming up tomorrow? Tomorrow morning, 7:10 KNUS, Peter Boyles.
You. the usual suspects until we work this thing to the ground. But I noticed it's trying to end its own self in a news cycle, and that was one of my fears: is they're going to try and shoot this down as fast as they can, which in fact they pretty much are coming down. As a final comment to Chuck, I don't think you can kid yourself about how they are and what they're feeling. They're sweating bullets.
I
agree with Peter.
Who do you think? Doloff's sweating bullets. Doloff should sweat bullets.
Well,
he's facing decades in prison. He should sweat bullets, and they'll probably go after him. And you just watched Dan Reck throw him under the bus when he said he feared for his safety, not for his life, his safety.
They threw that
guy. That insulates Channel 9, but it puts under the bus the shooter.
Hey, we'll see, Peter. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Peter.
Thanks, you guys.
All right, thank you.
Take care.
We're going to bring Casper Stockham up in a second. Although, let me say this. I agree. I think you both are right. How's that for being Solomon here? I think if you're a Tegna executive, you're not worried about this. If you're the people individually in the Channel 9 newsroom, I can tell you right now, this is extremely unpleasant.
Sooner or later,
everybody's worried whose head is going to roll. Is it going to be mine?
Well, you know whose head's going to roll. It's going to be some poor producer and a couple
Some poor schmuck who had the intern. They're going to get rid of the intern,
right.
I think.
right. We'll get rid of the intern.
Let's bring Casper Stockham up, and we're going to play the nine producers video. But hey, Casper, congressional candidate for CD7. Thank you for your time, as always. Appreciate it today.
Absolutely. Can you guys hear me okay?
We can hear you okay. I wanted to talk to you because you were there. One of the things that I'm curious about, and I thought you could kind of help us nail this down. So this Black Guns Matter guy, whose name is apparently Jeremiah Elliott, although I've heard other names too.
Yeah, I heard Jacob as well.
I did too. But at any rate, it appears to me that he was a professional agitator in that he wasn't with the other Antifa people over by the other part of the fence, chanting slogans and throwing soup cans and things like that. Right. He was standing at the entrance to where the Patriots were supposed to go in and out. And he was pretty much by himself there. Is that right?
That's correct. And he was there for a long time. In fact, as we were walking in, I mean, I was standing at the entrance with Tig. Tig was doing an interview with freelancer. And Jacob or Jeremiah, whatever his name is, he was there almost immediately. And he was calling us names. He called me the house nigger. And he was just antagonizing anyone and everyone that walked in that entrance.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, he told some ladies that were walking in that he was going to rape them. And this is all on video.
Right, right. Those videos, and we're kind of, one of these days we'll put a whole compilation together.
Right.
But the other thing I noticed is that he was not arguing politics. He was just, my sense of it was, he wasn't there to engage in some sort of First Amendment confrontation. He was there, it seemed to me, deliberately trying to provoke you guys into doing something violent for the cameras.
Yeah, yeah. And when you're in the moment, you kind of don't really go there. But after watching it, I mean, the whole time he was doing exactly that. And after I left him, he just went on to some other folks, start harassing them the same way. And as we were leaving, he was still there and he was harassing people as they came out. And there was a older gentleman that got into a confrontation with him. And there's video of me and some others walking over to the older guys and look, let's just go. He's not worth it. Right. And we left. But from there, he went across the street, and that's when he got into the confrontation with Lee.
Right. Now, did you see any interactions with him and the 9 News crew?
I didn't. I wasn't really paying attention to any of that. It's kind of crazy. Looking back on it now, I wish I had been more aware and done some video and of my own. But you never know what's going to happen until it happens, unless you're 9 News and you make it happen.
Because that's my contention also, that I did they expect they were going to end up with the murder of a man? No, but it almost always, and I can't emphasize this enough for people, and Casper, you've been around the media at these things enough, right? Yeah. The more you try to be on TV, typically when you're the media, the more you don't want to talk to that person, particularly at these things. You want to be careful not to incite people to do stuff they wouldn't be doing otherwise.
Well, the Denver Post photographer said, I felt like I hadn't got anything and that it was, I hadn't done my job.
That's because nothing was happening. The only action was on the other side of the field or fence with the police trying to stop the Antifas from breaking down the fence and trying to come at us.
Right.
Quote unquote, dueling ones, as it says it. But they wanted some pictures, ugly pictures of the Patriots. That's what they wanted.
Right.
And Lee gave it to him and he cost him his life. Channel 9, the Denver Post were part of it. In up to their heels, and I have a feeling that channel, if they get Lynn Wood, Denver Post is now going to be included in the lawsuit. Mm-hmm. I would certainly, after reading those statements, include them.
Yeah,
and it's really interesting to watch, dueling ones, and he's a journalist now. He's not a producer, and had a camera. He had a cell phone.
Right, Dan Reck kept calling it a cell phone, a camera, but it was a cell phone. Well, what other stuff?
A cell phone with a camera in it,
they were surrounded by it. I guess others, just in general than Casper, I want to get just your thoughts. You've been to a lot of these things, and we've all seen the violence by Antifa, not by the Patriots. Right. I mean, what kind of things have you, Steph, just your thoughts, your observations, maybe something we haven't asked yet.
Sure. Well, no, the one that we attended several months ago, this one was totally different. I mean, the police really did a good job of keeping the group separate. The only problem was at the end of the rally, when we were funneling out the south side, most of the Antifa and BLM were on the north side. They just went around the barriers and started to funnel into where we were leaving. Most of the Patriots were able to get out without any issues whatsoever. But there were some stragglers like myself. You know, I was doing interviews. You know, I was literally in the middle of an interview with the Denver Gazette reporter when we heard the shouting and the confrontation between Lee and the Black Guns Matter guy. So we looked up and turned around and trying to figure out what was going on. And then 5 seconds later, we see the pepper spray and a gunshot.
Right. Now, and what from what you heard, and this is what I've heard too, and some of the still photographs, you can see the ones that the Denver Post did not initially put out,
right,
by the way.
Right.
You can see Doloff appears to be reaching inside like Lee's vest like this, where Lee had his gun. And in one of the pictures that's enhanced a little bit, it appears that he actually has his hand on Lee's gun while Lee is going like that. Yeah. Then the other picture you see, Doloff has his hand on his gun and the pepper spray is still down by Lee's side.
Right. And this all happened in a split second. And we were too far away to tell that level of detail. You know, I was about 75 feet away, but we could definitely see the pepper spray, heard the gunshot. I saw Lee fall to the ground. But at the time, we didn't know who was shot. We didn't know who was who. We didn't know if a Patriot got shot. We didn't know if Antifa got shot. You know, we didn't know who did the shooting. None of that was known for hours later. You know, so it was just a surreal moment, you know, to watch that happen. You know, we didn't know it was a fatal shot. Even after he was in the ambulance, I mean, he got shot in the head, basically in the eye, I think through the eye or something. You know, that's a fatal shot. So we didn't even know that. You know, they took him away in the ambulance. We saw that. But we were hoping that whoever it was, you know, was going to survive.
Right. Let me ask you about this and get your reaction to this, because you saw the Black Guns Matter guy trying to stir things up all afternoon.
Yeah.
I noticed in the still photographs, he's kind of off to the side, but if you watch, you can see this. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is just kind of standing there in shock. He immediately bends down, picks up his bag and leaves, shouting, "We got another Trump supporter right in the effing dome." I mean, what do you make of, not even a moment of shock, not any kind of
He's a very, very bad, evil individual. And he had on a bulletproof vest, by the way. I don't know if you saw that.
Yep.
And the cops did detain him. I couldn't tell, though, if they detained him before or after that event.
It looked to me in the video like they detain him as he's leaving. I think he had about a million cops rushing in. And I got a feeling they detained a lot of people. I also think they might have recognized him. This is supposition on my part, because he's been apparently at a lot of these things.
And
he's been arrested before. So I think they probably just grabbed everybody there and said, nobody's leaving. Nobody's moving.
Right. Yeah. They cordoned off the area pretty quick. And then I did have the frame of mind to do a video. So I did a video of the aftermath, showed the police coming in and showing them cordoning off the area. And I was saying someone just got shot. Like I said, at the time, we didn't know who was shot. But now after watching or seeing the images, watching video and so forth multiple times from multiple angles, they have to have a video of that event, the actual shooting. There has to be video of it.
I think so, too. It's my understanding that there was one of the police halo cameras, and earlier the police confirmed that they did have that video. Now, what it shows, sometimes those halo videos are not particularly good, right? What it shows is still, who knows?
And sound is so key to the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So how do you think this ends in the end, Casper? What's your
problem? Well, you know, Chuck, I think sometimes you look at it like you know, like it's never going to be better. But I have to agree with you on this time. I think Channel 9 is probably going to, you know, they're probably going to get away with literally killing someone on the side of the road because of the money involved, because of who's running the show. You know, Beth McCann and the governor and the mayor, they're all going to cover their tracks on this. But I'm hoping that the light continues to shine and they aren't allowed to do it. And I don't know who's going to stop them, but I'm just hoping that they're not allowed to get away with it.
Well, you know, to turn to your candidacy, you know, I think folks may be aware of the new Hunter Biden emails and laptop and hard drive that have come out exposing Joe Biden's corruption. Facebook and Twitter are now prohibiting anybody from talking about it.
Of course. Yeah.
That is why we need to send people like you to Congress.
Yes.
So that the light can. So just real quick on your campaign and how people can find out more about you.
Yeah, so we're actually really excited. You know, we got the wind at our back. We have enough money to win. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to ever have as much money as my opponent has, but he's not fighting. He's literally in his basement, in his office, hiding. He refuses to debate me. He refuses to come out and talk about the issues. But we are out every day knocking on doors. You know, we're in the neighborhoods. We're on the highways and byways with flags and signs. You know, so we're getting a lot of traction.
Don't bother with the flags and signs. Take every one of those people to ballot harvest.
Well, do that too.
Every one of them.
Do both while you're waving the signs.
Yeah. Well, we're getting people at the polling places as well, you know, to be observers and all that stuff. And as we start, well, we're in the process now of voting stuff. So we're definitely going to be looking into making sure that everybody's vote is turned in.
Right.
And turned in properly. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, are you at the nursing homes?
Yeah. Well,
no, you're not. And I don't blame you because you have no ability to do that.
Yeah.
But they're stealing thousands of votes there as we speak.
Well, they're also killing those people off, you know, by the hundreds and thousands.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, with the COVID restrictions. Yeah. Casper, where can people find out more about you?
So they can go to casper4colorado.com. casper4colorado.com. Yes, we would still like donations, but the biggest thing we want now are volunteers, because we just got a shipment of thousands of yard signs in. And again, yard signs, you know, I've heard they're not all that effective, but this cycle they are effective because we get calls every day, people saying, man, I saw your yard sign, I want one. And our yard sign has my picture on it. Yeah. We have to get those yard signs out. We don't want any yard signs left in the office. You know, we want them out on the street because, you know, for people to see them.
We've got one in our yard. In front of our yard.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I got to tell you what, and you're right, it is effective, because my neighbor stopped me when I was walking the dog the other day, and she goes, I don't know anything about Casper. What can you tell me?
Right.
And I told her you're great, and she said, all right, sounds like he's got my vote. So there you go.
Those conversations happen so frequently, I can't even keep track of it. We get people, literally 20 or so people a day saying, I need a yard sign. I saw it in my neighbor's yard. I want one too. So we have people literally just, all they do all day long is deliver yard signs.
Good.
All right.
But we need more. We need
collect
more.
Some ballots while they're there.
All right. Bring some brownies. I'm just kidding. All right. Casper, thank you for your
time.
Casper. You take care and stay safe.
All right, guys. I appreciate you.
All right.
Well, let's go to Charlene, who's on line 10 from there. Charlene, great to have you back.
Oh, thank you. I think Channel 9's greatest fear was that they hadn't got their photo op for the 6 o'clock news.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were on to that fallen deceased victim within, they got there before the police got there, because he had his long angle camera and looked very professional. I don't know if he was part of their production team. I don't know how many are on that team, but there was a photographer that was shown on video taking a picture of the deceased lying on the ground, and also a photographer got the split second shot of the murderer looking back at the camera after he had shot him. And all that happened like within 2 seconds before the police even got there. So it just looked so much like a staged photo op. And I just don't know how many are in that production crew. I know there's the
Charlene, I might be able to set some light on that. This is what I think. I think it was, initially, I think there was a photographer with a regular professional news camera and a reporter. And then there was another guy with a boom microphone as well. So they had a whole bunch of people. Those people left. my guess is by that time in the afternoon to put the news story together. Then Doloff and the producer stuck around and they just had their cell phone. The producer just had his cell phone. You see them, the photographer you're talking about with the longer camera, I think that was Helen Richardson from the Denver Post. Now she had also been shadowing. I mean, they were hanging together, right? She had also been shadowing this Black Guns Matter guy too.
What people don't understand is the limited liability that's out there. In a wrongful death case for a 49-year-old man who does not make much money, there's not a lot of recovery. Your punitive damages are very limited, and therefore they don't have much liability, and it's well within their insurance limits. So, you know, Peter thinks that they're terrified and shaking in their boots. They're laughing at us. Laughing. I promise.
But, you know, Chuck, I hear what you're saying because you have the burden of awareness, but I think that they are more scared than they have been in the past, which is a good thing. That they're not scared.
Well, let me just finish. I agree, Charlene. There are two groups of they, right? You have the Tegna executives, and then you have the people that are sitting in the Nine News newsroom right now.
They're worried. They're worried because the ratings might go down. If this affects your ratings, which are bad anyway, and taints them, well, then they all could lose their jobs just because the ratings go down. But from a liability standpoint, it's really chump change. It is chump change. Sadly. Yes,
but, for the PR standpoint. But Kyle Clark is really slipping up because you know what he said the other day? He said suburban moms are in the suburbs, you know, looking out their windows waiting to see Black Antifa when everybody knows Antifa is young white kids.
Right.
And they're afraid to come into Denver. Come on into Denver is what he said. He knows people aren't coming into Denver. Right. And so he admitted that he so much as admitted that Denver is scaring people off.
Right.
So,
and they don't care.
I mean, Kyle Clark has been given free rein. No anchor any time in the past would have been given the free rein that Kyle Clark has been given. That's a strategy. You know, our audience is in Denver. Okay. We don't really care about people outside. We'll alienate them. It doesn't matter. We'll get, you know, we'll be the New York Times of Denver.
Let me ask you this, though. I don't think it's a coincidence that the armed security guard, that it was a Channel 9 armed security guard, not a Channel 7, not a Fox 31, not a Channel 2. I mean, you know, not a Channel 4. I think that the two attitudes are not unrelated. What do you think?
Oh, I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you. The attitudes are related, and it's just that, you know, they just don't care what the majority of people think. They've got an agenda, and they're going to push it down our throats, and we have to fight back in some manner, even though we may think it's hopeless. You know, I think the more we push, the more they're going to say, oh, gosh, somebody's paying attention. We can't get away with this stuff anymore. So. Yep. You know, it's
right.
A process.
We'll keep pushing in spite of Chuck's negativity, Charlene. We'll keep pushing. Hey,
well,
thank
I'm
you for calling.
I'm the only one who likes to push.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Charlene. Let's go to Don from Colorado Springs on line 4. Hi, Don.
Good afternoon, people.
Hi. What's on your mind?
I'm going to say this. I said this on the KNUS Daily Talkers with Stephen and Peter, and I'll say it here as well. Nine News, Kyle Clark. They're nothing but evil people right now.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they're just getting away with literally murder. Even they basically allowed this to happen by putting this guy in up and trying to provoke a fight. And they didn't think it was going to get, somebody was going to get killed, but it has happened.
Oh yeah. I mean,
they didn't make sure that he wasn't armed. Did they do anything to ensure that he wasn't armed? Did somebody say, look, you know, I don't want you armed. Open up your thing. Let's make sure you're not. No, of course not.
Well, and Don,
and just like Channel 7 didn't. And apparently
and
he was claiming he was armed.
The coyote backfire.
Yeah.
Right.
Far worse.
Well, yeah. And from what I understand from talking to friends of mine who have been in news management, when you have these security guard contracts, they're really specific. All the, as it was, the way it was put to me is all the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed, because there is potentially so much liability at stake here that everybody knows exactly what's expected, exactly what their roles are, exactly what their responsibilities are. It's not some sort of casual, hey, what are you doing tomorrow kind of thing.
Hey, come on down. Just don't get dressed up or anything. You know, look informal.
So, Don, where do you see this going?
I have no idea. But if Tegna was smart, they would start a little house cleaning like I've seen with my local newscasts for stupid reasons like someone's getting old and, you know, we need younger talent.
Yeah. You know? I get a feeling that nobody's going to go away, I think, until this is all over, because that would acknowledge
liability. And then it'll all depend on the ratings. If they're doing real well ratings-wise, they're not doing anything.
And if you're tuning in to Kyle Clark's TV program, Denver, then you're the fool. And you're a fool to allow this guy to play with your head like he has done for the past couple of years.
Right, right. I agree. Hey, Don, thank you for the call.
Thanks,
appreciate
Don.
It. Appreciate it.
Have a good one.
You too. Let's see. We're looking to try to get Stephanie on. Before we get to her, we have another video that I want to play.
Well, so, let me get a quick one in for Synergenics.
Because
this is,
Chuck had a great diet day.
Great diet day. I'm down to 249.0, so I'm keep on going down there. You know, the plan is, I've been doing this in tranches, and it's going to, I kind of thought I would lose 100 pounds over about a year. You know, I'd have 2 or 3 months of extreme dieting, then 2 or 3 months of maintaining, then back to dieting, and then maintaining, and then finish it off. So I'm hoping to get in the low 240s, and then I'll maintain for the holidays. And that's the hardest part, to tell you the truth, is maintaining. I'm not a person who likes to do things in moderation. But then I'll start off at the beginning of the year to get down to the weight that I weighed when I was in school and doing a lot of athletics. So I've got a ways to go. I started at over 300. Now I'm down to 249.
Yay for you.
Yeah. And it feels great. It feels wonderful. And it wouldn't have been possible without the help of Julie McCallum and Synergenics. They do all the things on age management and all the things you need to do. Julie is our test goat on the other side, and she's lost.
Goat. Hey, I've lost 3 pounds. Doing it my way. My way involves Cheetos and vodka and those little Madeline cookies.
Mine
too.
Is 500 calories a day.
So why don't you tell folks how to get hold of them?
Yeah, just give them a call. Just call Julie. Free consultation. 720-387-3681. Be the best call you made.
All right, Tom, Chuck, and Julie sent you.
Tell Chuck and Julie sent you.
We want to switch gears a little bit because the ballots are out. And so we want to kind of feature some local candidates. So again, an open invitation to candidates. If you want to, and actually across the country, really, because we go across the universe. But we wanted to talk to Stephanie Leck. She's a candidate down in South Colorado, and I'll let her explain where. So we got her on the line with us right now for a few minutes. Hey, Stephanie, I know you're out there campaigning, but thank you for taking some time for us today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
So why don't you tell folks a little bit where you are running, who can vote for you, and just real quick, a little bit about yourself.
Yes, so I am running for House District, Colorado House District 47, which encompasses all of Otero County. So think La Junta, Rocky Ford, where we get all those wonderful melons. Okay. As well as portions of Pueblo County and where I live, Fremont County. And a little bit about myself. that's a question all candidates should have a steady answer for. But you know, when you share that so many times, sometimes you lose your.
That's okay.
Well, that's right. You're just amazing. Just go with that. I'm fabulous. Mm-hmm. That's all you need to know.
What kind of district is it? Is the incumbent a Democrat or is it a Democrat? How's the Democratic-Republican ratio and all that sort of thing?
Yes, so it's my understanding that it's one of the most hotly contested seats in the state because it is equal parts unaffiliated Republican and Democrat. It was held by a Republican for most of the last 10 years. However, in 2018, it did go to a Democrat by 351 votes. So it is a very close seat.
Wow. Okay. So that means that if anybody listening is from there, it is extremely important that you vote for Stephanie. What I like to ask you guys is, because I know you guys are pounding the pavement, and you would look at the polls and they say Trump is going to lose, Colorado's totally a blue state. What's your sense, number one, about how things are going for you and other candidates, and just what's the, I guess, sort of the people talking about out there on the streets?
Well, I do find that it is pretty polarized. I find that if you get people talking about issues, about the type of environment that they want to live in, the kind of Colorado they want to create, most everybody is on the same page. People want to live in peace. They want to see justice done. They want to see prosperity, good education for their kids. And we all agree on those fundamentals. Obviously, where we diverge is how do you bring that about? But because of the personalities going on and some of the national conversations happening, you know, people don't even want to get to that conversation anymore. I've had people, as I've gone door to door, and the minute they find out I'm running under the Republican ticket, they slam the door in my face or curse at me. Wow. When, you know, 2 minutes before we were having a good conversation. And so, I mean, it's in some ways disheartening, because the reality is we're going to live life together for the foreseeable future. Right. And so, you know, you're living next to each other, whether every street is mixed between Biden supporters and Trump supporters, right, and unaffiliated or undecided individuals who just frankly don't know where to go anymore. There's so much noise. And right, somehow we have to cut through that and really have good conversations about what do we want? Where do we want to live? What kind of Colorado do we want to build and leave for our children and for our grandchildren? And I really am trying to get people to focus in on those questions, because frankly, voting is not about personalities. It is about principles and what principles are best, what ideas are going to be best in terms of creating the type of society we all want to live in.
Well, and I think it's really important we have Patrick Neville on our show. He's a House Minority Leader, although he's not going to be seeking a leadership role. But I mean, he talks about how important it is to get Republicans elected to the Colorado legislature in the Senate and in the House. We know that the Democrats, they went bonkers progressive in the last session. This session, they want to try to control things even more. So I think, Stephanie, it's just so important that we have voices like yours at the state capitol to stick up for the rest of us.
Well, I'm curious, Stephanie. I mean, obviously your seat is one of the half dozen most important seats by both sides. If it's as it was Republican, it flipped in 2018, and now you're running to flip it back. How much money has been put in on your opponent's side compared to yourself?
$1 billion.
It's very high. The last count that I saw put it at about 700,000
for a House seat in Colorado.
On her side. Yeah, and so.
And yourself, how much have you raised?
Well, so let's speak in this term. My opponent's raised about 150,000. I've raised about 25,000. I've been very adamant about seeking money from people in the district and asking for small amounts, because I don't believe that families are in a position right now to give more, but I want to be indebted to the people I'm actually called to serve. My opponent has been pursuing a lot of those special interest dollars, and so writing a $5,000 check, you know, is nothing
right
for some of those groups. So it adds up really very quickly. And then she also has a number of groups speaking on her behalf and just pouring in hundreds of thousands of dollars, sending out mailings and putting out pieces on Facebook or on commercials, et cetera. There are a couple of groups that have entered over the last 2 weeks to support my candidacy or to oppose my opponent. But frankly, when you look at the amount of money that's being spent for such a small district, we're talking, you know, 80,000 people in right, rural Colorado, largely, $1 million could go a long way to advancing some projects on the ground if that was invested properly here in our community. And it just floors me to think that we are just seeing our seats of power bought in this way. And, you know, I don't know how many people recognize the amount of money that goes into these things.
Right.
And how much money have you gotten, or how much help have you gotten from the state party? They have no money, so they can't help out much. But any volunteers, anything else?
Oh, yeah. They're supporting in the ways that they can, and I appreciate that. We're all just trying to do what we can in our own little sections of the wall, so to speak.
Well, one more time then, Stephanie, where you're running, and maybe if you've got a website or something that people can go to for more information, or if you're looking for volunteers, that kind of thing.
Awesome. Yeah. So again, Stephanie Luck, I'm running for House District 47 here in Colorado, which is Otero, Pueblo, and Fremont counties. My website is stephanieluck.org. You can find information, contact information there. If you are interested in assisting, that would be wonderful. I greatly appreciate it. But, you know, really, when we're looking at this state, when we're looking at the United States in general, I believe that now is the time for restoration. Now is the time to hearken back to the Declaration of Independence vision of, you know, we hold these truths and we have those voices in our society who are objecting to basically every word in that statement. Yeah. And now is the time, I believe, to remember, to reread it and remember its importance and to begin rebuilding off of those principles.
Well, Stephanie, you sound like a great candidate, and anybody and everybody who can help you out should definitely do it. And wishing you the best of luck, Miss Luck.
Thank you. Thanks.
Take care.
All right, Stephanie, thank you for your time. We only got a few more minutes here. I want to let folks know we will continue to be following, because I think you and Peter are right. It's likely that the whole the murder case of Lee Keltner will be fading away in the mainstream media. We'll see, by Friday they may be filing charges. We'll keep you posted on that. But real briefly, Chuck, in a couple of minutes, one other thing that's just outrageous, the New York Post story about the corruption of Hunter Biden, yes. Joe Biden clearly lying when he said he had no idea about this.
His son's business. He'd never had a conversation.
Right, clearly
he lied. Well, gee, that's surprising.
So that's bad enough. Right, on the one hand, it's being ignored by all the mainstream media, but now Facebook and Twitter are prohibiting people from commenting on it. They're banning those articles. The New York Post, that's a big, it'd be like banning the New York Times. I mean, they've been having for years the Russia hoax, right? We've got the panic porn that they throw out there every day. And then this one story, I mean, do you have in any world that you can imagine, if it had been reversed, if it were Donald Trump and Donald Trump Jr., right? Do you think they would say, hey, this isn't verified. We can't possibly go with this.
Unbelievable. I mean, really unbelievable that Twitter and Facebook have become our censors, our gulag contenders, and they want to keep anything negative from the Democratic side. I mean, they're unfit to have licenses. They really are.
Yeah. Hopefully, Ken Buck is trying to push some legislation. Who knows what that'll do?
All right, we got Leo says, thank you, BBS Radio, or that's Sandra. Good luck. See you on Party Friday. You bet, Leo and Sandra and everybody else. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you to Peter, to Casper, to Stephanie. Want to remind folks, you can catch the podcast if you miss it at chuckandjulie.com. That'll take you over to our YouTube channel. Would love to have you like us and subscribe to us.
You'll find some of the censored news over at Colorado Citizen Press if you want to try to get the truth.
That's right. Yeah, thank you to ColoradoCitizenPress.com and Cynogenics. Thank you to Thomas for running the boards back there at BBS. And as Sandra says, we'll see you on Party Friday.
Take care.